Hey there, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. Why don't you come on in and make yourself comfortable. Today on the show, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And, I call this show Unity versus Division. I toyed with the idea of using a title of Christian Unity. This is one of those programs where, as I read the Mass readings, the topic was somewhat clear to me, but yet it was also vague, if that makes sense. It's a difficult topic. It's one that I wasn't 100% comfortable talking about, because whenever you start talking about Christian unity, you run the risk, and this is, I've decided to talk about it because I think that's really what the Holy Spirit is telling me I'm supposed to talk about today. You run the risk of possibly alienating somebody. You know, on one hand, I can alienate someone who says, well, you must stick to the truth. And once you begin compromising, then you compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ, which, yes, I understand that point of view. And that is true. I'm not advocating we compromise the message. And then on the other hand, you're going to get someone who hears this message of unity and says, yes, we have to be united, but there's sometimes a need to be more open. You're being too rigid. So I get, too extreme. Somebody's saying we're being too rigid if we're compromising. And on the other hand, somebody's saying you're too rigid by proclaiming the truth. We need to have multiple points of view. And all of that is, somewhat valid. But again, it's a difficult topic. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit work it out. But as we, I don't know where you're listening to this show from. You might be listening to the podcast. I'm based in the United States, but I realize that people listen to the show who are not from the United States. We have a lot of division in the U.S. right now, not just in our Catholic Church and among Christian denominations, but in our country. There's a lot of divisions. There's a lot of animosity. There is a lot of anger. There is a lot of lack of unity. And I don't really think that's a good thing. And again, I'm not advocating changing the truth. The truth is the truth. We can't compromise the truth. However, I think there is a way to find common ground. Even if I don't disagree, even if I don't agree with someone on everything, I still have to treat them with dignity and possibly listen to what they have to say. Again, not compromising the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He founded a church. We can't start playing with the teachings of the church. However, a lot of times you may disagree with someone else. They may disagree with you on a truth of the faith, but yet they may agree with you on something else. So where I'm going with this show, we're going to talk about the importance of seeking out common ground while at the same time not compromising the truth. And look, again, I'm going to pray the Holy Spirit works this out because it's a difficult topic. But it's one that I just feel that's the message of these readings today. And it would be doing a disservice to you and really a disservice to Jesus to try to water down the message too much. I think it's one that we do need to address. So I said a lot more than I expected to say. Let's pray. Let's talk to our Heavenly Father right now. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to pray for the grace to be able to deliver the message that He wants me to deliver today. Because with a topic like this, when we talk about unity and division, especially within the church, I need all the help I can get. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for being present with us right now. Father, we know that as we all are praying to you, some of us may be geographically in different locations, but we know that it's possible for you to be present with all of us, no matter where we are physically. Father, we thank you for creating us. We thank you for adopting us as your children. We thank you for sending Jesus into the world. We thank you for watching over us at all times. Father, we realize that you are all-powerful. You are all-knowing. You are all-loving. And we realize that nothing can happen in life without your permission. Father, I know that lack of unity doesn't please you. You want unity. Jesus wanted unity. And I pray today, Father, for greater unity, both within our Catholic Church and among Christian denominations throughout the United States as a country and throughout the world. We pray that we can be united, Father. I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to me to give me the words for the show today. Please guide my thoughts and my words. And please open all of our minds and all of our hearts so that we can hear and act upon your message today. Father, as I always do, I ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. Again, my name is Gary Zimak. We do this program each week, 30 minutes each week, as we look at the Mass readings for a particular Sunday according to the church year. Today, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We're getting toward the end of the church year. Toward the tail end of September, depending on when you're listening to this program. I realize it doesn't air on the same date. Different radio stations air it on different dates, but we're pretty much toward the end of September now, and we have a couple more months before we head into the Advent season. With that in mind, I just want to remind you that my latest book, Find Peace in Advent, it's a daily devotional, very similar to Give Up Worry for Lent, except it was written for the Advent season. That book is now available. We'll talk about it more as we get closer, but you can pick up a copy right now if you would like to. Find Peace in Advent. Again, my latest book, and if you get it now, we'll be ready to talk about it as the season gets closer. It's from Ave Maria Press, so you can go over to the Ave Maria Press website to find it, and you can also get it directly from online booksellers as well. If you want to find out more about the work that I do, my full-time ministry, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. All right, let's get right to it. Let's get into the Mass readings for the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And I'm really confident. Again, this is a tough message. This is a message that there's part of me that just wants to shy away from it and find something simple in the readings and go with that. But I think this is an important message, and I really do trust that the Holy Spirit's going to help me to deliver the appropriate and a powerful and helpful message today. Let's do what we always do. We'll start off with the gospel. We'll read the gospel, and then we'll back up and look at how the other readings support the message of the gospel. The gospel comes from Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 38. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." And Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward." And then Jesus goes on to say, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed then with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Pretty nasty verbiage by the Lord. Obviously, Jesus is speaking in a hyperbolic way here. He's using exaggeration, hyperbole. He's not advocating that we start chopping off body parts. But what he's warning us of here, be careful. Be careful of the occasion of sin. But more specifically, you know, getting yourself into a situation where you know you might have a weakness in a specific area. The internet is just a booby trap of pitfalls for people who might be struggling with areas such as pornography. Or you know, there can be other areas, too, for some who struggle with anger issues and find it difficult to love those with whom they disagree. Facebook can be a really big booby trap, and you can really find yourself getting angry at people. I've got to be really careful about that because I can have that tendency sometimes, so I have to watch out that I'm not going to read things that get me in a place where I shouldn't be, you know, committing sin by thinking bad things about other people and getting angry at them in my head, and which can be sinful if you're not careful. But so that's a very important message that Jesus has, and I could certainly just use that one little chunk there and talk about it. But I still see this overall message, this idea of unity versus division, as being the overall theme of this gospel passage, of the entire passage. And Jesus does say here, before he talks about, you know, if you have all these occasions of sin, just be careful, don't even go there. But he talks about whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, be careful. The importance of not leading other people astray. You know, not everybody is in the same place spiritually. You may be advanced, more advanced than somebody else you know, maybe a coworker, maybe somebody you go to school with, maybe a member of your family. And you don't want to set a bad example by misleading them. You know, somebody might not be as strong of a Christian as you are, and you might put a post online, maybe Facebook or some other social media platform, personally attacking somebody that you shouldn't attack personally. You know, it's okay to disagree with someone, but it's not okay to attack them on a personal level. So you might set a bad example. Somebody who is maybe even not a Christian, or somebody who is a Christian, but maybe not as advanced as you are, they might look at your behavior and say, well, look at how he's behaving or how she's behaving. And that might cause them to slip and maybe head down a different path. Or it might cause them to say, if this is how followers of Jesus behave, I don't want to do this. So in a sense, by you doing that, you're creating disunity. You're creating, instead of unity, you're maybe fracturing the church. You know, sometimes we downplay the role the importance of us setting a good example. Well, I'm just one person. Well, no, but if everybody felt that way, then we as a church would be greatly weakened. I mean, you're only responsible for what you can do, how you live your life. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you want to make sure that you are really living your discipleship to the full. So you see that this really is a message of unity here. Don't cause somebody else to sin, you know? Don't set a bad example. Don't cause scandal. Prior to this, in the first part of the gospel, John is going to Jesus, one of the apostles is going to Jesus. He said, teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name. We tried to prevent him because he doesn't follow us. And Jesus said, don't prevent him. If they're performing miracles in my name, that's a good thing. And you know, for those of us, we live in a I'll get back to the United States, and it really applies all over the world. And we live in a world where Christianity is not in favor. You know, there's a lot of power being exerted to try to stamp out Christianity because many in the world don't want to hear what Jesus has to say. And you start speaking about your faith and people get annoyed. So we want to be careful. Just because somebody is not Catholic, but yet they're proclaiming a teaching of Jesus, you know, again, we might not agree on everything, but if we have some common ground and somebody's trying to put Jesus first and talk about him, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. And it would be wrong to say, yeah, but that person's not Catholic. We disagree on some things. Well, we might, but we also agree on some things. And if Christians at some level could begin to come together and seek common ground, then that would be a good step, not only to help us proclaim Jesus to the world, but it's also a step on the way to unity. Because if we're always finding fault and always trying to criticize other people because they might not believe exactly as we believe, then we're never going to sit down and discuss our differences in the hope of resolving them. So, you know, again, I'm not saying compromise the truth, but I'm saying if somebody agrees with a teaching of our church, such as Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus gives us grace to deal with the difficulties of life, Jesus doesn't want us to worry, you know, all these things, many Christian denominations believe that because they're biblically based. We don't want to say, well, don't listen to this person because they're not Catholic. Or conversely, we have many non-Catholic Christians who don't want to hear what we as Catholics have to say. So it definitely works both ways. We need to find common ground and be united so that the message of Jesus Christ can be proclaimed to the world. And that's important. Let's look at this this first reading now. I believe you'll start to see the unity theme become more apparent. This is Numbers chapter 11, verses 25 through 29. The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. Taking some of the spirit that was on Moses, the Lord bestowed it on the 70 elders. And as the spirit came to rest on them, they prophesied. Now two men, one named Eldad and the other Medad, were not in the gathering, but had been left in the camp. They too had been on the list, but had not gone out to the tent. Yet the Spirit came to rest on them also, and they prophesied in the camp. So when a young man quickly told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp, Joshua, son of Nun, who from his youth had been Moses' aide, said, Moses, my lord, stop them. But Moses answered, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all. In other words, if somebody wants to share the message, God's message, let's not criticize them because they might not believe everything that we believe. And you do see this happening, right? We see it happening all the time. Just look on social media platforms. A lot of criticism, a lot of really nasty criticism, focusing more on division. And again, this does not just pertain to Christian denominations. This is within the Catholic Church. We have a lot of division. We see it all the time. And unless we start working on that, and again, I'm not saying compromise the truth. There can only be one truth. You can't have two conflicting truths, such as the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, or the Eucharist is only a symbol. As Catholics, we believe that is Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. Now, if somebody says, no, that's only spiritual, well, you can have it both ways. It either is him or it's not him. So I'm not saying compromise what we believe, but I'm saying if somebody who isn't Catholic and they don't believe in the real presence of Jesus, but at the same time, quotes from the Bible and tries to follow Jesus, we don't want to downplay everything they say just because they don't believe in everything we do. We need to start working together as Christians, because we got a world, we got a country, we got a world who is trying to stamp out the message of Christianity because it's inconvenient, right? So unity is important. But that doesn't mean we don't keep striving for unity, complete unity in the truth. You know, and we have to have these discussions. But if we start discarding people, discounting what they have to say, those discussions for further unity, they're just going to fall apart. Because nothing shuts down a discussion faster than a comment of, you're wrong. They might be wrong. But sometimes you have to at least listen. I think you should always be willing to listen to what someone has to say, whether or not they agree with you. It's hard, though. I have a hard time with that. I'm not saying that it's easy, but it's really what Jesus wanted. Jesus hung out with a lot of people who didn't want to hear what he had to say, many of whom he won over. So, again, it's a challenge. Don't compromise the truth, but at the same time, treat everyone with dignity and listen to what they have to say. And, you know, at some point, yes, you do have to walk away. You're not going to get everybody to agree with you. Even Jesus didn't win over everybody. And if he didn't do it, we can't expect to do it either. Let's look at the responsorial psalm, Psalm 19. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The decree of the Lord is trustworthy, giving wisdom to the simple. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true, all of them just. Though your servant is careful of them, very diligent in keeping them, yet who can detect failings? Cleanse me from my unknown faults. From wanton sin, especially restrain your servant. Let it not rule over me. Then shall I be blameless and innocent of serious sin. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. You know, one of the best things that we can do, specifically talking about getting along with non-Catholic Christians, is to focus on the Bible. Because even though we might have slightly different interpretations, and the contents of the Old Testament may vary, they have less books than we do, the New Testament is the same. And yes, you can have different translations, but for the most part, we accept much of the Bible. Again, those books that they don't accept from the Old Testament, that's possibly, it could be difficult, it could be challenging for those of us who are trying to find common ground, but there is so much common ground in the Bible. So that's always a good place to start. And, you know, I think it's a great idea for Catholic Christians and non-Catholic Christians to work together, to come together and find those common areas so that we can get the gospel message of Jesus out into the world. Let's look at the second reading, James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. Your wealth has rotted away, your clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and that corrosion will be a testimony against you. It will devour your flesh like a fire. You have stored up treasure for the last days. Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvested your fields are crying aloud, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance. And, you know, a lot of times with these readings, the second reading is a challenge. I've talked about this with you before. It's tough to fit the second reading sometimes into the overall theme because it's not specifically chosen. This is during ordinary time. It's not specifically chosen to match the first reading, the responsorial psalm of the gospel. But, you know, when I read this, when I read these words of St. James, what comes across to me loud and clear is treat other people fairly and with dignity, you know? And I think a lot of times we don't do that. There's a reminder here that even if we disagree with someone, treat them fairly. Treat them as Jesus would treat them. Don't deny the truth. But sometimes you don't start by focusing on what we have in, you know, what we don't have in common. Sometimes you start with what you have in common and then work from there. And again, I'll go back to social media. Social media is notorious, even among Christians, for having a lot of attacks, personal attacks, nasty attacks. We want to be careful. We want to be careful and always try to treat people the way Jesus treated them. And that's how we build unity. And you know the old saying, in unity there is strength. So definitely something to keep in mind. United we stand, divided we fall, however you want to phrase it. If we are going to continue the work of Jesus in the world, and he calls on us to do that, as Christians we're called to do that, we've got to find ways to unite with other Christians, even those who may not believe in everything we believe in. I think if we work on those common, the things we have in common, we can do a lot of good. All right? Hey, we're just about out of time. You know, I think the Holy Spirit came through. I hope you enjoyed the program. Really, I was nervous about doing this show. I didn't know how it was going to work out. But I feel good about this message. It gives me reason to really pause and think as well. I think this is an important and powerful lesson for me to hear, and I'm going to do my best to try to work on being united with others, especially other Christians, so we can get that message of Jesus Christ out into the world. Hey, if you have questions, feel free to email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I thank you for all of your recent donations for my ministry. As I mentioned, my wife Eileen was having some health issues. We got inundated with some medical bills. I'm grateful for your financial donations. It's helped us out. Please continue to pray for us, and we'll pray for you. If you'd like to make a donation to my ministry, you can do that at followingthetruth.com. I thank you for listening to the show. God willing, we'll do this again next week. Hope you have a fantastic week. Remember, let's work on being united, because that's how we're going to get the message of Jesus out to the world. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.